Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Wise Guys podcast. Wise Guys is your home to interact with the worldwide community of BYU fans in a variety of ways. We're your hosts, Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler.
What you're about to hear is the audio recording from our weekly live broadcast. We invite you to join us for the show live every week to chat with us and with other BYU fans. You can find the schedule and watch live at wiseguys.com. That's ysguys.com. Thanks for listening and go Cougs.
Hey, happy Monday. It's Masters Week. Welcome to the Wise Guys. It's one of the great weeks of the year with the number one BYU sports live stream show in the entire world because we go to the whole world. That makes us number one. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, how's your week?
It's good. You have your green, it's sort of a green jacket. It's more of a green
zip. It's the closest to a green jacket I'm going to have.
It's a green quarter zip, but it is, you must have gotten that.
It was from the Augusta National shop.
You can only get that gear when you're there. So I wore a hat golfing the other day on Augusta National.
I saw that. Yeah. I don't wear it often, but it seemed like the week.
Dave and I went golfing together last week.
Yeah.
And it was nice out there.
The course damage was minimal, and we got right through it. Hey, follow us on YouTube. We're going to put the link in the chat. Subscribe. It's all free, and we're also live on Facebook, Twitch, and ysguys.com. Everybody's in the Philippines in early. How about that? Right out of the gate.
Farmington. Late last week.
Las Vegas. Thank you for being with us. Tucson, good to have you here. Winnipesaukee, Lake Winnipesaukee. Alan, nice job. The whole world checks in.
They're getting in early before the national championship game.
Yeah, because we got plenty of time before that.
Hey, if you have, now these folks that are all in, I know that they've all subscribed at ysguys.com, but make sure, if you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe. And then you'll get our weekly email that has highlights from the show. All of our past interviews are there, including folks like Ty Detmer and Steve Young and Danny Ainge, Wally Joyner, Marie Osmond, Glenn Kozlowski, Jimmer Fredette, Kyle Van Noy, Sherry Dew. You just name it. John, by the way, last week.
You name it, they're on this show.
They've been on the show. If they're anybody, they've been on the show.
Jay is from Vernal. Scott from Montana. Good to have you with us on the Wise Guys tonight. We got TJ Woods. He's the offensive line coach, brand new one, running game coordinator. He's going to be sitting in studio with us in just a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be
fun. We got a lot of questions for him.
Oh, yeah, we do. A lot from spring ball and about his experience so far and what's going to be different next year. It's going to be great. We'll talk a little bit about the futures for Zach Wilson and Keaton Slovis, two former BYU quarterbacks, and what they've got going in the NFL.
Hey, and BYU baseball's Hawaiian Punch, Kahio Aloy, and Keone Painter with us right after the Cougars took down Texas in Austin.
Yeah, how about that?
That was an awesome weekend. Yeah,
they take the series down there in Austin, no less.
Yeah.
Texas takes a lot of pride. They think they're pretty good in baseball. I have a really good friend that was an All-American there, and he thinks they're great. So if they're great,
they think they're great no matter what.
If they think they're great, then BYU's better.
So we got the guys in tonight. Just finished up practice and have them over.
Hey, how about the Kentucky basketball head job being open?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's
surprised
just
me.
So Calipari leaves and takes the Arkansas job. Now that doesn't seem like a job you take, but maybe after all these years, one national championship, the pressure is so intense. You know, they think you should win them like UConn wins them. Oh, maybe they should. but they feel like, you know, the Kentucky fans feel like they should win a national championship every year. Maybe the pressure has just gotten so much that he decided, I'm going to go to Arkansas, where if I get to an Elite Eight, everybody thinks it's great. But what does that mean for Mark Pope? That's his alma mater.
We're going to talk about that.
Captain on a national championship team there at Kentucky. He is on some lists already.
Yeah, we'll dive into that in just a little bit and give us our opinion.
Yeah.
We'll give our opinion on that. We'll get yours as well. on our live stream. BYU baseball 13-15, up to 6-9 now in the Big 12, their first season in the Big 12. They just took 2 of 3 in Austin against the Texas Longhorns. Thursday, they won 7-5. One of our guests had a 2-run single, yep. Keone Painter. Friday, Texas beat BYU 4-3, but BYU had some chances. They could have got that one Friday.
Yeah.
And then Colin Reuter hit 3 home runs Saturday.
What in the world?
Beat the Horns 7-5. That's huge.
Yeah, that's really big. And to go on the road and to take care of the Horns. This week, BYU's at Utah. Tuesday, that's tomorrow night. Are you doing that one? No. Because that's out on the road. That's a Pac-12 network game. And BYU Radio is going to be doing it. I know you don't have that one. Baylor's at BYU Thursday through Friday and Saturday. Thursday, Friday, both at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Saturday at 1 Mountain Time. And all of those games, the home games, are all going to be on ESPN+. You and Gary Schiette calling that one, though, right?
Yeah, we got a busy week ahead.
So you and Gary. I was going to bring a book for you to take to Gary, by the way.
We'll just swing it by the house.
Yeah, I'll bring it by.
Big 12 standings. The top 10 qualify for the Big 12 championships in Arlington, Texas in May, at the end of May. BYU right now is in 11th at 6-9, just behind Baylor, who's 5-7, and again, that 3-game series this week.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an important one. 2 Big 12 teams in the top 25, and they're not, they don't include Texas, they don't include Oklahoma, they don't include TCU, but they do include UCF at number 17 and Oklahoma State number 21.
Right.
We thought there'd be more, but this TCU right now is in 12th place, and they were the preseason favorite. So something's up with that.
Yeah. Well, and we saw a little bit of that in basketball, too, where some of the favorites weren't so favorite. And some of the teams that people didn't think were going to be that great, including BYU, were much, much better.
Let's bring in our guys.
Yeah.
Our first guest tonight.
They can talk to us all about this league.
They brought us some island flavor to the BYU roster, both from the island of Maui. Our pleasure to welcome Kahio Aloy, who's typically the designated hitter, and starting outfielder Keone Painter. Welcome, guys, to the Wise Guys. That's Kahio, and this is Keone. Aloha, guys.
Aloha.
And both from the island of Maui, as you mentioned. Is there a better place in Hawaii than Maui? That is my first. Like, I feel like it's the best of every world in Hawaii whenever we've been over
there. It's just the best place.
And would you guys concur that that's the best place in Hawaii, Maui?
100%. I agree.
Can we get that, Miranda? Can we get that mic up? If when you guys get introduced in class, do you wait for everyone to explain where they grew up, and then you go, I grew up in Maui?
Yeah.
And that pretty much takes everyone's like, oh, right?
Yeah. They're just kind of like, oh, Hawaii, like.
It's kind of a surprise at first. Yeah.
What was it like growing up there? When we go to visit, you know, after a few days, that island's pretty small. But for folks who live there, what's it like growing up on an island?
It's a small island. You get to know everybody for sure, and everybody's like family back at home.
Yeah.
Always out there taking care of you, whatever you need.
And then when you grow up in Hawaii, especially in Maui, the water just becomes part of who you are, right? You guys spend a lot of time in the ocean and doing those kinds of sports. Were you both surfers growing up?
I did not surf.
You didn't surf?
I bodyboard a lot, but not really surfing.
Same. Same.
Really?
Not a surfer.
I expected both you guys to be out on boards.
First time I tried surfing, I hit the reef and
that was it.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to eat fish growing up?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the best thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they say. And you'd go catch fish and then eat it. Mm-hmm. Is that how that went down?
Yeah.
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 And both grew up playing baseball. Did you play other sports growing up in Hawaii?
I played soccer till like middle school, like 7th grade.
And then focused on baseball after that. How about you?
I played about basketball and football, soccer too, throughout elementary. As I went on to go to middle school and high school, it kind of dialed down to one, which is baseball.
You know, back in the day, one of the reasons why a lot of people in Hawaii don't like BYU is, well, the two of you are sitting here on this show in Provo tonight. They got mad of all their athletes leaving to come over here to play. And back in the early 80s, their best football players would come over and play. Yeah, and played on Blaine's teams.
We got the player of the year every year, the Hawaii player of the year in football every year for like 5 straight years.
So then we'd go over there and we'd go, why is everyone hating
so much? Why do they hate BYU so much?
The church is huge over here and all this and that. They were mad because BYU would come over and take you guys and bring you over here. Did you guys sense that growing up?
Not really. No.
Yeah?
because the church is a big part back home. So
yeah,
it's not. It's kind of like a shock. People would want to come here too. They yeah, don't really care.
My freshman year in my recruiting class, we got the number one rated player and the number two rated player from the state of Hawaii. Kurt Govea and Lake Hemuli both came to BYU. They really hated us after that.
Yeah, you would go over there, you could feel it. You're walking in, you're like, hey, we're on the broadcast team. We're
going to say good things about you guys.
Be nice to us, but they could not do it. How sweet is it to go into Austin and take down Texas? I don't care if Texas is number one in the country or number 359. How much fun was that?
It felt good. I mean, we were off to like a rough four or five games before that. And I think taking that series at Austin was really big for us and a big motivator to kind of push us to want more.
The last time we were down there, the feedback coming back was that Texas would like to chat a lot. They were high and mighty. They were this and that. And BYU was the low of the lows. And Texas won, and that made it worse. Mm-hmm. Well, this time, you guys won and then skipped town. What was the mood like from the Longhorns as they look up there and watch Colin Reuter hit his third home run?
They were kind of in shock, but they kind of started to like a little talking back at us, and it kind of just motivated us to just go out there and beat them because they just think they're bigger and they just think they're better, and we just kind of went out there and proved.
What kind of facility do they have down there? Do they get a good crowd in this facility? Because they always brag about they have great facilities down there.
Yeah, it was a good facility. It was a really nice facility. They had a big crowd, so it got loud sometimes. But overall, it was just a good experience.
Well, you went 3-for-11, a couple of runs, made some big plays out in the field. You were 3-for-7 with 3 runs driven in, scored a few times. Stone Cushing picked up save 6 and 7. Again, Reuter had a really good series. It felt like all over the lineup, instead of just one spot, everyone was contributing, which is the key moving forward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very big for everyone, 1-9, to kind of contribute and put runs on the board, and also our pitching staff kind of putting zeros up there against the other team.
And the starter's been tough, right? And the bullpen's been great. It's just been some bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some plays just didn't go our way, or some things didn't go our way, which is how the game works and just how things go.
How different is it? You know, we always talk about the transition from high school, whatever, from high school basketball to Division I basketball. What's the transition like for you guys, and how different is it playing in high school in Maui to the level of competition and what the game is like now as you're playing Division I level in a P5 conference?
I think just overall, like the games, amount of games played in the season, it's just kind of like you have to really focus on your recovery and your body. I think the talent, too, is like on another level. You're facing 90-plus every day instead of like 80 or like 70. So it's just it was kind of a hard transition at first, and then you kind of just go into the flow and get used to it.
You've had a little time because you had a redshirt year separating high school from the pitching you're seeing this year. You're straight in. Every time you go up, and we've talked about in the broadcast, every time you go up to the plate to face a new pitcher, it's an education at this level, isn't it? Especially in conference play. And how different is it from knocking around high school pitchers last year?
I'd say the game just speeds up a lot faster. Games played at a higher level, the game's just going to get on you much faster. You just got to find ways to slow it down.
How do you slow it down?
I like to go and take a couple deep breaths, you know, kind of don't think and just do. Go out there and kind of help my team win.
Is the biggest difference the pitching? Is there, like, facing the pitching that's kind of good every single game, and how do you manage the higher level of pitching?
I'd say it's kind of a factor of everything. Pitching is probably one of the bigger things. Facing a lot more velocity, a lot more different pitches with higher spin rates, and just finding ways to be able to adjust to those pitches and hit it hard to any place of the ballpark.
Good to have Houston, Texas with us on our live stream. La Raca, Baja California in with us tonight. This is kind of a cool show because everyone gets to see you out of uniform, answering questions a little bit different than what you'd get in a post-game interview, as we visit with Kahio Aloy and Keone Painter on the Wise Guys tonight, live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and YSGuys.com. So you guys are very different ball players. speed, defense, power. So let's describe your games, but I'd like you to describe his. And then Blaine will have Cahill describe
I like
Keone.
It.
So let's break this guy down.
I mean, he's just a hitter, pretty much. Like, he can just hit the ball anywhere of the field. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. He can just put the ball in play. He's a big RBI guy for us, too, getting runners in. And so I think overall he's just – he's one of our better hitters on our team, and he's able to see the pitch and see the ball really well, which is something that makes him such a good hitter.
Isn't it a bit uncommon for a freshman to be able to do all that? You lead the team in RBI with 22.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's no doubt, like, about Cahill and him coming in and doing this because, I mean, he's worked his whole life for this, and he's proven and shown in high school, and he's doing it right now that he can do it.
Are you surprising yourself at all?
No, I think I prepared myself enough and worked hard enough to kind of go out there and do what I do. So
what about Keone's game? Like, give us the scouting report on his game.
He's a solid defender in the outfield for sure. He's got speed. He can run. He can track down balls. And at the plate, as long as he puts it on the ground or somewhere in the field, he's more than likely to be on first base.
Yeah, you had some big catches in that Texas series.
Yeah.
Running back, putting your hand up, pulling them in. Did any of those surprise you?
No, not really.
That's good. That's good. I think they surprise all of us when we see the ball leave the bat so fast. Mm-hmm. And there's so much ground out there. I mean, people, it's like an ocean of green out there covering center. You've been in center. You've been in left. Have you been in right, too?
I've been in center and right.
Center and right. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
Coming off the bat, you got a millisecond to decide, kind of, am I going left, am I going right, am I retreating, am I charging up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think coming off the bat, I think you just have to see the pitcher throw the ball all the way. Like, if you see it up, if you see it go all the way and you see it go off the bat, it's kind of just reaction from there. You just go.
So based on where the pitch is, you can tell where the batter's going to drive the ball, and you can get a jump on it.
Yeah, and then our coaches do a good job, too, in putting us in the correct spots or positions if you have to go on opposite side or if you have to go on pull side. So that helps, too, with positioning in the outfield.
So how did you guys survive the winter? Yeah, it snows over here. It doesn't snow over there.
Yeah,
well, up on the volcano does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's barely.
Barely, okay.
Yeah. I'd say at first it took time to kind of like take it in and be like, okay, this is like cold and like I should start wearing some like layering up or this and that. But I want to say I got used to it pretty quick.
Driving okay in it?
Yeah. I mean, being out there on the baseball field every day, whether it's 40 degrees, 30 degrees, I mean, I just found ways to kind of adapt and kind of keep going.
You had an extra year, so you knew what this winter was going to be because you had one. And last year was a big one.
Yeah, last year's winter was rough.
he got off pretty easy this winter compared to last winter. It was brutal last year.
Yeah.
So we were talking to you before we all came on the air, and you guys actually knew each other growing up. Like, talk about the relationship and how you interacted as you were growing up.
So all growing up, I played with his brother, Viva. And so he was just 1 year younger than me, and his dad actually coached me all through my young years and all middle school years. So it was honestly just a good experience, just learning from his dad and being around them and just having that environment around me.
Yeah, how about you?
First of all, I'd like to say shout out to my dad and my brother all the way down in Arkansas. Keep killing it, bro. I mean, I was one or two years younger than Keone, but just always being at the baseball field, surrounding myself with like people like my dad, my brother, and my brother's teammates, it kind of taught me, and I kind of learned certain things and picked up on the game and how it should be played.
Two non-surfers, mm-hmm. as we've come to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us it was like we would go to the beach and all that, but we didn't really pick up any other hobbies because we were just basically doing baseball every day. So
yeah, you guys were dialed in. And baseball, I mean, even here in Utah, where it's not a warm weather climate where you can play year round, they still go inside and hit. You guys do that during the winter in the indoor practice facility. Baseball, when you decide that that's what you're going to do, you kind of have to do it year round, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Tell us there's got to be a spearfishing story or something as you guys have grown up eating fish that you've caught from the ocean. What's your best fish story?
My best fish story is probably going to the beach with my family, and we were out shore fishing, just casting, seeing what we'd catch, and I about snapped my line about 3 times in a row, and then after the third time, I was like, that's it, I'm done. So after that, I just watched the rest of my family just fish.
You were done bringing them in.
Well, yeah. Did you snap it on a snag, or did you like hook into like something a great that was so white big or what? That it's just like...
A snag, a hook, a bunch of things.
you were one and done. That was it?
Yeah.
What about you?
I would go fishing. When I was younger, I would go fishing with my papa all the time. He would take the boat out, and we'd go deep sea fishing.
Oh, so you'd go off the coast a bit.
Never again, though.
No, it's rough out there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring in any sharks or what?
No, we brought in a fish. I don't know how big it was. I forgot what fish it was, but yeah.
And so you guys didn't surf, but you did. You call it bodyboard or boogie board? Which you do?
I mean, same thing. Bodyboard, boogie board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember back on Oahu, like we'd go over, and we'd be watching locals, and they were body surfing, but they had McDonald's trays. It's like, did they go to McDonald's and get those trays and come over here and use it to? And sure enough, they did.
Yeah. My papa was telling me a story that he used to do it on a shovel too.
It's just a shovel.
A shovel.
But like, it's just something to cut into the water and to steer with, right? Yeah.
So like, it's a Monday night when we think of growing up in Maui, on the island of Maui, on a Monday night. It's Monday night. Everyone's going to the beach with a big bonfire and just hanging out. Or was it just baseball practice and going home, getting something to eat, and going to bed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the beach was like a bonus, just going out and spending family time, just bonding. Having that day out of the week where you can just release and just let everything go and just not think about anything.
Yeah.
Now, on Sundays, you told us that you guys saw each other a lot because you were in the same ward.
Yeah.
Were you in the same ward the whole time you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have known each other your whole lives pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool. And how random is it that you're both here as teammates in the starting lineup tomorrow night and all weekend?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's cool. It's cool to see. It's cool to see both of us just kind of grow up and then both come to BYU and do this thing together.
How has your BYU experience been? What have you liked most about it?
So far, so good. I mean, I'd just say the weather was one of the bigger factors for me. That was pretty much it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For me, it's been really good. I would say the weather too. Nothing else but the weather, but
yeah,
that's it.
So the weather's a challenge, and everything else is great, huh?
Yeah.
BYU freshman Kahio Aloy and redshirt freshman Keone Painter on the Wise Guys today, both from the island of Maui, and appreciate some of the comments on our live stream. When we think of Maui now, we think of those fires and Lahaina, which many of us from here have been to. Vacationing over the years, and much of where we ate and stayed has burned to the ground. What was that like as native Hawaiians seeing that happen to your island?
It was rough actually getting back home and actually seeing what actually happened. It was kind of like heartbreaking for sure, just seeing all the homes and just a lot of people and all these houses and just all that being overtaken by the fire. It was one of those things where Maui as a whole kind of came together and kind of worked on picking each other up and asking each other for support, which was really good. I mean, without the local support from one another, I don't think we'd be as strong as we would be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that same for me. I was kind of at shock first. I did not think that was going to happen. And it was kind of everybody just got together and we kind of showed aloha to Lahaina. We came together with all our support and people volunteered to help go out there. And I think that made us stronger as a community.
Lahaina strong.
The pictures that I thought were most ironic, stunning, was the city, the community there literally on fire, and the waves were just coming in like it was just like they do. Mm-hmm. They just come no matter what. So here's this island surrounded by water that's on fire. And it's like seeing a boat on fire at the lake when you're surrounded by water and no one can put the boat out. And I thought of that. There was one beach shot of just the waves coming in like they always do, and with so much water right there, but no one could get the fire out.
Yeah, it was hard. It was just the conditions that day were really bad. It didn't help put out the fire at all. Yeah. So
did you guys, what high school is over there? Would you have played against kids from that area?
Yes, Lahaina Luna.
Lahaina Luna. And both your teams would come through and play them?
Yeah, well, we all played at one stadium, but like a lot of teams would go there and play at their stadium, football stadium.
So you knew a lot of kids, a lot of folks displaced from that. And what's the latest on the recovery, if you know?
I haven't really seen much. I think it's more of just rebuilding and kind of rebuilding infrastructure and kind of building homes and just finding ways for the people that did lose their homes and much other things to have them have a place to stay or something like that.
It does teach you a lesson of how quick things can change in life, huh?
Yeah.
You just never expect that to happen. Just like you wake up every day and you expect to go through a day like you went through all the other days. And things change so quickly, and the wind and the fire, and it just changed a community that all of us have known our lives. And bam, different.
Yeah, I think that was really big. A big factor, and just I think it just helped our community kind of get together and just kind of be one big support system, you know, for those that were in need, like for families that were missing. Everybody back at home was really helping to kind of figure out who's where and what they need, if they need food, water, a place to stay, just always being out there looking out for one another.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned too that the coming together. Sadly, it takes sad things sometimes to bring folks together, but we do come together.
Yeah, I mean, Maui was always a strong community. Like Lahaina was a really strong community, and I think this just made it even stronger, and it made everybody even closer. So I mean, it's just I was sad what happened, but it was something good came out of it where people came closer and everybody. We showed aloha to everybody.
I'm
interested. You both mentioned the weather was a big challenge, and even though you were in the same ward growing up, you went to different high schools, right? But you both chose to come to BYU. I'm interested to know what the decision making process was for you. Why BYU for you? Why BYU for you?
I mean, I'm part of the church, so that's one reason why. I mean, and the coaching staff here, the facility here, it's kind of just the environment that I'm in, and the people that kind of surround yourself with on the baseball team, it really helped my decision to come here.
I'd say the same thing. It felt like a place I could call home.
Isn't it interesting that as young guys you come here and you're getting started, and the person you marry is probably walking around you on campus, just haven't met her yet. But this is the setting where a lot of your life's decisions are going to be made that will impact the rest of your life. And so just getting here, number one, is an accomplishment and a credit to both of you, because this is the setting where a lot of the rest of your decisions are going to originate from. I don't know if that makes it scary walking on campus tomorrow, but
well, I don't know about getting married, but just yeah, but
well, yeah, we're not saying this week. We got four games this week. We don't have time for that this week. But this is where it happens, and that's exciting.
You don't even have time to date right now. No. It's in season, right? No.
So
that's cool. All right, we've got five questions for you, and we'll get you on your way. BYU freshman Kahio Aloy and redshirt freshman Keone Painter. Grew up in the same ward over in Maui, and now they're on the same roster here in Provo, Utah. Blaine, you ready to work them through five?
So I'll ask a question, and you'll each answer. And these are just off the top of your head. It helps us get to know you a little bit, and all the folks out around the world listening in or watching.
Plus, we're going to document it.
Yeah, we're documenting it.
And revisit it later.
Yeah, and if they're terrible answers, we're going to let you know. No. So, okay, your favorite sports movie. Let's start with you.
Sandlot.
Sandlot. Classic.
I don't know. Probably Moneyball.
Moneyball. Oh, yeah. That's another good one.
Two good baseball. The Sandlot, by the way, almost the entire film was filmed here in Utah. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Figured that out.
Hey, ask Keone the next one so that he doesn't get all that extra time to come up with the answer.
So favorite singer or band?
Molly.
Molly?
Maoli.
Oh, Maoli. How do you spell it?
Maoli.
I have to look that one up.
Maoli.
Mm. What kind of music?
It's reggae.
Oh, so reggae.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like a Hawaiian reggae.
Nice. Mm. So, I'm gonna look that one. You know I will.
I know you will.
He knows I will. I'll go look Maoli. I'll go look it up. So, Common Kings, I thought they were from Hawaii with kind of their reggae, Hawaiian. Mm. They're from California.
Yeah. there's just different types of reggae. So. Yeah.
Very disappointing. I wanted them to be from Hawaii.
All right.
Okay. Favorite. Fiji?
Yes.
Just like F-I-J-I?
Yes.
And what kind of is that?
Hawaiian reggae.
Hawaiian reggae. Hawaiian reggae.
The kind of music we hear when we walk out of the Hilton out there, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Just the... Okay.
I love it. I'm gonna look them both up. So this is a follow-up to that question. I'm adding a question, by the way, Dave.
Yeah.
What would be your walk-up song? Do you have one? Do they do that? Your walk-up song?
Yeah. Make 'em bum then. It's not by Maoli, but... It's like a reggae song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how you roll. What's yours?
Same thing. Murderation.
Murderation.
Beanie Man, and I forget who the other artist was.
When you said this is what I want for my walk up song, did they go, how are we supposed to find that?
No.
Did they know?
Did they just get it?
Yeah.
He knew Beanie Man.
Okay, Fiji.
I want to know if TJ, when he comes on, the first thing I'm going to ask, does he know Beanie Man? I'm sure that TJ knows Beanie Man.
We'll ask him.
He says no. He's in the green room. He says no. No Beanie Man for
Okay. All right, okay. Next one.
Favorite breakfast cereal?
Toast Crunch.
All right.
Okay.
Captain Crunch right now.
Yeah, Captain Crunch.
That's classic. That'll be a classic your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never can fail with Captain Crunch. All right, your favorite baseball moment. Doesn't have to be a BYU. Your favorite baseball moment, we'll start with you. Favorite baseball moment ever?
I would say when I was in middle school, we went to Little League World Series regionals in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
I would say that playing in over there was pretty fun.
How close did you get to the show?
We were in the semis to go into the championship to make it to the Little League World Series.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's very cool.
That's cool.
I'd say playing the state championship with my brother. High school.
Oh, and partly because you got to play with your brother, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And how old's your brother? Is he older or younger?
He's older. He's a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah. And their second, both of their second is Wampanoag on Texas last weekend at Austin.
Yeah, so that's close.
That somewhere. Was pretty good too. So, okay. Your favorite thing about Hawaii? Your turn first.
The beach.
The beach. Even though he doesn't surf, the beach.
That's the same for me.
It's the beach.
Yeah, the beach.
Yeah, it's pretty special over there.
Really supporting that stereotype of the beach, guys. But you know what? That's why we go over there, is to see the beach.
Yeah.
So you guys just had it. You guys had to come over here to see snow. We have to go over there to see the beach.
Yeah, pretty much.
My place on Maui is any place on the Wailea coast. So either the Marriott there or the Grand Wailea, any of those. And I just put me there, I'm great. I'm just fine.
So you got the Utes tomorrow night, and then Baylor in for three in the Big 12. Let's start with the Utes. It's a rivalry game. The last one got rained out, right, or snowed out.
Yes.
So here's the first time against them this season. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. It always is because it's Utah. But there are bigger ones that mean more coming Thursday. So how do you balance the week?
I mean, I think we just attack the week like the same, bring the same energy. We just have to go out there and just play like how we did against Texas, and just want to be hungry.
Just carrying it over, win to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought that was a happy plane ride home. I was on the plane ride coming home from West Virginia, where they got one of two, had a chance at the second, and then coming home from the UC Davis, which was a learning experience for everybody. So I would imagine coming home from Austin, it was a pretty good time.
It was for sure. Yeah. Big celebration for sure.
On the Utes on the road, and then you get 8 straight home games. Mm-hmm. So and this guy will be on the call for all 8 of those.
Yeah, so let's get some highlights.
Do some great stuff so Dave can brag about you.
Show those seniors how to do it. You know, you guys are the future. When you come back on this show, this is the freshman appearance. And as we move through your careers, for the senior appearance, you'll go, hey, you guys can just leave, and the two of you will do the show. That's right. The evolution time in front of the camera. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah. Great that you guys would come join us.
Good luck tomorrow night, and we'll see you Thursday.
Thank you.
At the ballpark, guys. Kione, Cahillo. The Hawaiian punch, it's kind of fun to say, but we got the big hitter and the big catcher, and BYU's fortunate to have both of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You appreciate
got it. You got it. Say hi to your families. We'll send you the podcast, and you can send it to them tomorrow. Okay? All right. Awesome. BYU Utah, that's tomorrow night on Pac-12 Network and BYU Radio, and then Baylor and BYU Thursday, Friday, and Saturday afternoon as they get back to the Big 12. And fun heaven and air.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And as you mentioned, that's the future. Those are the young guys. Isn't it fun? Two guys from the same ward growing up on Maui. And produce two players, even though they were different high schools, that come and play at this level in the Big 12 and get a chance to play together. That's really cool.
Now they're having a chance to meet Coach Woods, who's going to join us in just a moment.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to give you a pitch about Wise Guys. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary. So listen to what we've accomplished so far, and the live streamers know exactly what we're talking about. Our guest list is a who's who among BYU legends. In addition to our live show every Monday, our YouTube page has 552 videos, produced over 385,000 views and 5.1 million impressions.
That's crazy.
Podcast has 57,546 downloads. Also live as we speak on Facebook and Twitch. And our home base is ysguys.com. We're going to take it up a notch. And we need some sponsors.
That's
so
right.
If you have a business that wants to jump on board with us, let us know. Reach Jack Hadley at jack@ysguys.com.
Pretty easy. jack@ysguys.com is an easy one to remember.
Let's take this to the next level. I think it's going to be fun. We've accomplished a lot, and we're just getting started. And before, you ready to model that?
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Blaine is our model. Miranda, could you put the camera on Blaine?
Yeah, there we go.
And here's what he's modeling tonight. Defense drinks. Contains a special blend of collagen, vitamins, and minerals. These have been shown to reduce, are you holding it up?
Yeah.
Reduce joint soreness and reduce injury. Add defense drinks to your day and move and feel better. Save 10% on your order at defensedrinks.com using the promo code WISEGUYS.
Yeah, and this is the collagen electrolyte formulation. I actually sip on this every show.
So yeah.
I mix it in my water and I sip on this during the show. They have a nice pre that you can take before you go work out. They have a whole line, Defense does, of products that you can use, whether you're a workout fanatic or not, all good stuff. This collagen electrolyte hydration one just keep you hydrated and keep your joints and all that functioning the way they should. So
football news, the transfer portal opens up April 16th. That's just around the corner. As far as our calendar goes, Stadium of Fire is July 4th with the Jonas Brothers.
And Dave McCann.
AFR's season premiere is on BYU TV July 30th. Fall practice starts, we're thinking July 31st.
Yeah, maybe TJ has a date. Do you have a date yet, TJ? No date yet.
BYU Southern Illinois on Saturday night, August 31st. That's the plan accordingly, but that's what needs to be on the schedule. Let's bring in our next guest. We've had the kids. Now let's get the man who's going to join us tonight. He's the new offensive line coach and the running game coordinator at BYU. The Cougars just wrapped up spring practice. It's a perfect time to welcome TJ Woods to the Wise Guys.
How you guys doing?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
and welcome to Provo and all of that stuff. You're a veteran now because you've been here like a couple of months.
I am. Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah, what do you like the most about it?
The people.
Yeah?
Yeah, the people. You know, obviously had a lot of experience in Utah and coaching up in Logan for right. several years. And, you know, I think that BYU is really just taking that to the next level. The sense of community, the people, all of that stuff to me is second to none.
How does it – compare? You've been to multiple places, and we'll kind of let's document. Grad assistant in New Mexico, Utah State, Wisconsin, Oregon State, Western Kentucky, Utah State again.
Yep.
Right, UNLV, Georgia Southern. Did we miss any?
No, I think you covered.
We got them all, and then BYU.
Yeah.
What's different or unique about BYU? Because that's been a lot of different stops with different and unique. But is there something that's different about BYU than any of those places?
I think the players, the kids that BYU attracts. You know, talk about people. It's people make places, in my opinion. And I've been a lot of places. And I've seen good and bad and everything in between, to be quite honest. But at every level, the people make the place. And I think the best part about BYU is, I mean, the coaching staff and all that stuff, we're on a day-to-day basis, we're with them a lot. But the pure joy for me is being around good kids and kids that welcome your investment.
Your wife, Kelly, did she, when she signed up for all this, did she have any idea that she'd be visiting so many places?
I don't know if this was quite the plan we set out, when we started this journey, but she's been a trooper, man. Every place we go, she's, now we've got it down to a science. Hopefully we can stop packing our boxes every couple of years, but she's been a trooper, man. She's been awesome.
That's great. You have to have a special wife to be in this business, right?
So, no question.
And so what does she like about Provo?
It's the same for her. You know, the community, the people. We know a lot of people in Utah, too. And so that part's been good for her. And, for her right now, we got 11 and 8 at home, two girls. And so, yeah. For her, she's in her bubble pretty good there and trying to make sure everything is taken care of on the home front.
Well, eventually the snow's going to be gone for good, and it'll warm up, and one of the best times of year.
Hey, they lived in Logan twice, so they have way worse weather than this. Yeah. Living up in Cache Valley, right?
We're living in Lehigh, and both of my girls were like, "Yeah, Dad, I just wish it snowed a little bit more here, compared to Logan." I said, "I don't.
It's all good." We lived up north in Davis County for a number of years, and I'd call down. My folks were down here, and I would say, "Wow, I was out with a snowblower," and they would always go, "Well, the banana belt down here, it really is warmer in Utah County. It doesn't get the snow.
It's so incredible."
Dave mentioned you just finished your first spring practice here. How was it in your first spring with BYU?
It was awesome. I think we improved. There were some ebbs and some flows for sure, some ups and some downs, but I think we made some big improvements. I think we identified our personnel, which I think spring ball is a big piece. You got to know what you have. And I think anytime you bring in a new coach, you have to kind of assess how they do under my tutelage a little bit, right? Some of the stuff I'm asking them to do is some things that they've never done before. So I think in that sense, it's been very good. It's been good for us to kind of get a feel for each other. It's as much about them getting a feel for me and building that trust and belief in what I'm teaching and how I'm teaching it. I mean, that's a big thing. So I think we're on a good path there right now.
It's interesting. Connor Pay sat right in this chair and we talked and by the way, he's a huge fan of yours.
I'm a huge fan of Connor.
Yeah, he is a big fan.
Yeah, he's a huge fan. Like he just said, he was singing your praises. But one of the things that he identified that he really liked, he specifically said that your method of teaching was tailored to every individual player. Like, for instance, the way you're coaching up him or talking to him might be different than the way you're talking to Caleb Edine. And he said he really appreciated that tailored approach. And we thought, wow, that's pretty astute for Connor to notice.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that by design? Is that part of your plan, or is that just who you are?
I think there's, throughout the years of doing this, I'd like to think I've improved at my trade too. No different than the players, but I do believe, I don't think you can coach everybody the same. There's no recipe that is a fit all. It's not one size fits all, right? And so, being able to adapt and really get to know the kids individually and their needs. I think you can obviously connect better that way, which that's what this is, right? We're teaching and we're connecting with each other. And I think a lot of that has to do with knowing each other. And so anyway, for me, I do try. I mean, you know, we're going to treat and teach every player different, and we're going to hold every player to the same standard. And I think that's where the standard will never change. How we approach that standard, how we teach those things can change individually, but collectively, as when we take the field, there's one standard, and we all have to operate under that.
Our pleasure to have BYU's offensive line coach TJ Woods on the Wise Guys live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and wiseguys.com. When you come into a situation like this, you've been asked to fix something. You've come in to fix something. How have you kind of pinpointed where to start? And folks on the stream, we're going to talk about running, yeah, because running was a struggle last year. And so that's the obvious glaring thing to the fan, but it's a little more detailed for you as the fix-it guy. Where'd you start?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's I've been through this multiple times, and I think the number one thing that you can get caught up in is looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Instead of looking through the windshield, you know, I think the rearview mirror is a lot smaller than the windshield for a reason. You know, I think we have to be pushing forward and worried about what's in our control. And obviously that's the present, the now. You know, obviously I've studied a lot of what happened last year and, you know, some things that I think I can help and improve in that setting. But you know, my approach is to not dwell on the past and where we've been, more about where we're going and be excited about that part.
You've been doing this a long time. We talked a little bit about style. As you come in, what are these players looking to you for? What do they want from you as the coach? Like, have you been able to identify that? This is what these guys need. This is what they want from me here at BYU.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing all players want is somebody to believe in them. I think that's something that's pretty sacred and very important with today's athlete. You know, I think with social media, there's definitely more negative than there is positive for a lot of these kids. And, you know, it's easy for guys in my generation, I think, to kind of sit back and nitpick maybe some of the things that they do that might not be ideal, but, you know, we didn't have to deal with a lot of the struggles and a lot of the challenges that they have in today's day and age, right? So to me, I think the number one thing is.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The belief.
When you think of this offensive line you've inherited, and now with the transfer portal coming, you'll actually get more hands-on guys that you think will fit your idea. But you're also the running game coordinator. So how does that work with being the offensive line coach?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the run game coordinator title is really just kind of a title that tells everybody that I'm kind of going to try to coordinate the various schemes that we run and try to make them fit together and complement each other, right? You know, obviously, A-Rod is the offensive coordinator, and he's going to call the plays, and it's his offense. So, you know, I try to have just a little bit of a influence in some of the schemes that we're running, maybe change a few things here or there, but you know, I think it's important to keep the identity of what BYU is and what this offense is, because it's been dang good for several years.
I know you haven't had a game situation yet, But give us a little glimpse into how you see this working as the run game coordinator. Aaron, he's up in the booth. So A-Rod, does he go, hey, run play, TJ, what do you got? Or does he go, what do you like in this situation, TJ? We got third and one. I want you to be thinking of a third and one play here if we don't get this. Or if we're going to go on fourth one. Is that how's that communication link going to work, do you think?
Well, I can't necessarily nail that down right now until we're in that situation. But I would anticipate it going in between series, having communication. That's usually the way it operates. You know, I think something that maybe the layman might not fully understand, but, you know, a lot of the decisions on what to call in certain situations, they're all made Tuesday through Friday, right? And that's a collective effort, and we put it on this big elaborate
sheet. You got a big ready list.
Correct, right? And so a lot of those decisions are already made based on our film study and those things. But, you know, obviously, like any good battle plan, a lot of them change once you've been punched in the face a little bit sometimes, right? So because of that, there will be some adjustments that have to be made throughout the game, and usually that happens in between series.
Russ is driving in Indiana tonight and says amen on the rearview mirror comment. Thank you, Russ.
And he's driving back from the solar eclipse. I'm not sure you're supposed to even look at the eclipse in your rearview mirror, let alone directly.
Right? Yeah, I think you have those special glasses. BYU Sports Addict says, so TJ, man, we're all behind you all the way. What can be done this year to actually have a great running game? And you mentioned you studied last year and saw some things. What do you think can be done between now and August 31st when you run off right tackle, you feel good about it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to having a good run game is to have something that you can hang your hat on, right? You can't be a jack of all trades and a master of none, and I think that that's easy in today's football. There's a lot of defense. There's a lot of offense. And listen, there's good coaches at this level, so they're going to be prepared to stop what you do, right? And the better you are at what you do, the better they're going to be at trying to stop it. And so you have to be multiple. You have to do different things to keep the defense a little bit off guard, but I also believe in being able to line up and run something successfully, or at least efficient. Efficient for us is a gain of 4 yards, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking to gain 4 yards on or gain a first down based on the situation. Then that we deem those efficient runs. But to me, you need to have something that you can hang your hat on that you go, listen, here it comes. This is what we're doing, and we're still going to go get 4 yards. And I think we're still trying to find what that is for us. You know, we've had some real good battles in spring ball. You know, our defense is very interested in stopping the run. They do a dang good job of it. And so I think we're in a situation where, you know, iron sharpening iron on our practice field, which is a good thing. But to me, that's the main goal is having an identity. Who are you, you know? And when the chips are down, when things aren't going well, whatever, it's a 60-minute game, right? So no game is going to be going well the entire time. Yeah. Football's a game of momentum.
And does that emphasis change based on who you have? I would imagine. So BYU last few years has kind of been a run a lot of zone. They do run counter and power, but they don't run a lot of zone. And in spring ball, as I got a chance to watch some, seemed like we were running a little more counter and a little more power than I think I watched the last couple mm-hmm. years. Is that a result of your expertise in those different schemes? Is that, hey, here's the dudes we have right now, and this is the kind of running backs we have right now. We do a little bit more of this. What drives, you know, what direction you go with those schemes?
Well, I think initially we drive it as coaches. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think being multiple is an important thing. And I think running zone schemes and running some gap schemes, running some pull plays, you know, can keep the defense honest. But I think what ultimately drives it, to answer your question, is the players. If they don't have the bandwidth to be able to handle multiple schemes, then, you know, I can want to run a ton of plays all I want, but without Connor Pay in there making sure everything goes right, or Caleb Etienne, or, you know, Waylon Lapuaho, then those plays aren't going to work because we're not going to be on the right people and we're not going to be executing the plays with the correct technique either. So to me, that's the number one driving factor is how much volume can the players handle and execute versus the volume of defense that you see.
You know what seemed to work over the years to make that all function is Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
You can kind of run anything if Tyler's the running back, right? Yeah,
there's a definite, and I've been fortunate to be around several very, very elite backs in my career, but you know, the guy that handles the ball, whether that be in the passing game or the running game, players make plays and players win games.
You had LJ Martin, Hinkley Rapati, coming back off the injury, Miles Davis, a few others. What do you like about this group of running backs? And with the portal opening, will you be looking to add any more to the room?
In the running back room, no. I think we're pretty set where we're at right now. We like what we have. You know, obviously LJ with what he did last year and showed some real good stuff in the spring. You know, having Hinkley back is a big deal too. He's a beast. If I looked like him, I wouldn't own a shirt, I don't think. So
how can somebody that heavy be that shredded? That's my question, right?
He's impressive.
And he's low to the ground, and he's got those humongous thighs, and yet he's got quickness.
Yeah.
I think if I'm a safety, I get tired of tackling that guy before. Or LJ. That whole group is a very physical group, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the idea. You know, I believe in back by committee. I think you know, you want to be physical when you have the football in your hand, and I think you can take the football out of the defense slowly. And there's a softening process that happens in the game of football. It's a 60-minute game, and running the ball in the fourth quarter should be a lot easier than it is in the first quarter because it's harder to play defense every snap you play.
Blaine's going to hit you up with five questions, and we'll get you out the door.
Sure.
But before we do that, let's do our Cougar Board question of the week
and have
Coach answer that.
Because Coach can help us.
If you're unfamiliar with Cougar Board, and our group is getting more and more familiar with it, largest online community of BYU fans, thousands of posts daily. This question comes from Dilbert, one of their insider subscribers. He thought he was asking us, but we're going right to the source.
We're just deferring to you. Right to you.
Here we go.
Here's the question. Keanu Hill moved to tight end this offseason. Will they have him line up next to the tackle? If so, how is his run blocking? He's been great at blocking DBs on the outside and downfield. Will he be an effective blocker facing linebackers and defensive ends on the line of scrimmage? You just have like 4 weeks of seeing that. So.
Yeah, I would say I'm very confident in what he's shown in his ability to be physical and block in the run game. You know, it's a work in progress, right? Blocking, you know, you don't grow up practicing blocking in the park with your parents. So it's a process, but he's doing a really good job. Great kid, highly competitive. He hates to lose, which is a huge quality in my opinion, and I think we all feed off of that. But I think you'll definitely see him next to the tackles and blocking defensive end and linebackers for sure.
Hey, you have a nice tight end room, and they're part of that run game. Even the freshmen look good. Swanson, my goodness, he looks like a man child. I can't believe he does. Is he 17?
Yeah,
I think he's 17 years old. He looks like Hercules out there.
He's a specimen for sure.
Yeah. So you got a nice tight end room.
And they're very pivotal in what we're trying to do. You know, I think that's something that is becoming more and more rare in college football, the tight end position, and I feel like we're very blessed to have several bodies in that room that are willing and able.
All right, let's get after him.
Yeah,
here we go.
You heard. Some of these are the same, some different.
Okay, I don't know Beanie Man, though.
I looked over to TJ because I'm lost. I don't know Beanie Man. Maybe TJ knows. No, I know
Maoli and Fiji, though.
Oh, you did know those
two. Big fans of those, both of those.
All right, but Beanie Man's new. Yeah. Okay. We're all going to have to look up Beanie Man later to see if it's any good. So, okay, your favorite sports movie?
The Program.
The Program.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to date myself there, but
no, that's a great one.
Yeah,
with the Program, what was the premise of that?
That was with East Carolina. It was back in the late '90s. Latimer was on defense, and Mac, and all those guys. It was as I was growing up. That was a pretty influential movie for me, football wise.
All right,
yeah. Your favorite singer or band? It's not Beanie Man. We know.
No,
that.
It's not Beanie Man. Oh man, my favorite singer or band. I'm probably gonna have to go with Morgan Wallen.
Oh yeah, so you're a country guy.
I'm an everything guy. To be honest, I'm so from Southern California. Eclectic. So,
oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, what's your wife's favorite band singer?
Oh, my wife's favorite singer. You're putting me on the spot here. I'm getting nervous. I haven't been nervous the whole time. This is. Yeah,
we'll see if you get this right.
Yeah.
My wife's is Tim McGraw, by the way.
Yeah. Tim McGraw.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, and John Bon Jovi, that dates us.
So. My wife would trade me in for Keith Urban.
He's good friends with the guy that writes for Keith Urban, so we've been able to go to a couple of his concerts and do some stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Wouldn't even be with like future considerations. I would just be a straight.
And we've been friends with Brad Paisley for a while, ever since we played West Virginia back there. So we kind of have to talk about Brad Paisley.
We got some friends.
Got some hookups in country.
So
I think she's probably on the same boat with me. Any country music she's good with.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. Your favorite breakfast cereal?
Breakfast cereal. Okay. My wife would want me to tell you something healthy. Like,
you don't have to. You don't have to lie about this.
She's not here. She can have her own interview.
She doesn't even know. We're not going to tell her.
Yeah, I'm going to go with probably Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Lucky Charms.
Oh, see? Okay. No,
but there is a Lucky Charms with only marshmallows too.
I love it.
Is it called Charms? Is it just called Charms?
I don't know what it's called.
It's a special edition that comes out every once in a while, which saves me from the work. When I eat Lucky Charms, I eat all the oats first, and I leave like 5 bites of nothing but Charms just soaking in the milk.
Exactly.
It's the best thing ever.
No question.
Those are two good choices.
Yes. Favorite, like people that come in here and go, oh, rolled oats?
Yeah.
That's what Danny Ainge said, rolled oats. I was like, come on, Danny.
Yeah. I consider myself a professional eater. I don't know. You can't get to look like me without being pretty good at some of that stuff. So.
Okay. Your favorite football moment ever?
Favorite football moment. 2014, Melvin Gordon set the single game rushing record in the NCAA after three quarters, rushed for 408 yards against Nebraska when we were at Wisconsin. That was pretty fun. Yeah. It started to snow.
He was like special player, right?
Oh, yeah, he's incredible. And those play, you know, the linemen too were a real joy, man. I was real fortunate to be around some really good players.
Yeah, Wisconsin's just they're known for just producing NFL offensive linemen. And no different when you were there.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time.
And running it against Nebraska had an extra sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why it is, but everyone enjoys beating Nebraska.
Yeah.
When we were back there, BYU beat them on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
It was there was just a different level of satisfaction. Oh, I don't know what it is. Yeah. They've never done anything bad to us, but
they still felt more. Hey, we gotta give them, they haven't been good lately, but they've got a tremendous history.
There's no question.
They have a tremendous history. And their
Tom
fans
Osborne.
Are actually great. Yeah, their fans are great.
They are.
So they deserve better than what they've had the last seven seasons or so.
Yeah, for sure.
And you sort of answered this already, but this can be something different. Your favorite thing about, and it doesn't have to be about BYU football, your favorite thing about BYU, period.
Yeah, I just had this cookies and cream milk from the creamery.
Oh, yeah, yes. There's some good stuff in there.
Man, I think right now that's my favorite thing about BYU.
Yeah. Hey, I have
cookies
to
cookies and cream start, milk or not or ice cream?
It was
milk?
The milk, yeah.
The milk.
I don't know. I've never had it before, but it was.
Go over to the other counter and they freeze that thing in ice cream, and it's even better. Yeah.
And you spend enough time in Logan. The creamery in Logan is really good, too.
Absolutely.
Like, BYU is not going to take a second. You know, there's this fight because, hey, Cache Valley, there's cows just up in Richmond, you know. Like, it doesn't make a difference. BYU is still
it's pretty
right there, toe to toe with Utah State's creamery. So,
LJ Martin's going to be on the show next week. What's one question you want us to ask him?
One question you can ask him. Ask him if he knows how to use his weapon.
Oh, okay. We'll ask him that. Ask that down there.
Tom Coach Woods asked him that.
To use his.
Got it.
Weapon.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite coach at BYU is Coach Fowler. Gavin is my son.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we love Gavin.
All right, these guys hardly work together. Offense, defense. Yeah. It's like two different worlds.
We promised to have you.
Yeah, cool. Gavin's my youngest son. So.
Very cool. He does a great job.
He thinks the world of you. Everybody does.
You're like everyone's best friend.
I was talking to you coming on, and Gavin, he told me a lot of great things. He's about how... about culture and some things you've brought and some of the, yeah, he's loving you, having you there.
Yeah.
So, well, and he knows because they got to go defend you guys. So.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a heck of a job over there. I know that. So that's cool.
Hey,
that's
we
cool.
promised to have you out of here at 7. You've got a party to attend to, so go to it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We hope you come back. Much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime.
The game doesn't tip for out. The game doesn't tip for 20 minutes. You got time.
I know. I'm,
Purdue I'm or UConn going. On your way out? Who you got?
I'm going to go with the big guy at Purdue.
You like him.
Big men win championships. That's the bottom line.
And Purdue's the one team that has the bigs to hang with UConn's bigs.
Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
I like that guy. So we'll see.
Who's the biggest on your offensive line? Is it Etienne?
Yeah.
6'8", yeah. 2.
Yeah, here, Kime. Kime's.
Or Kime.
Yeah.
Those are big boys.
He's a big dude. Brain's 6'8", and he's put a lot of weight on since he was first here.
He's been doing a good job. Yeah. He's really been trying, to bust his tail in the weight room.
I've been telling people, Caleb looks like a different guy to me this spring.
Yeah.
He looks good.
He's cut some weight. He's down a little bit.
He looks good.
He's a little bit better. So he's doing a good job.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Appreciate it.
TJ Woods, offensive line coach, running game coordinator, making his debut on the Wise Guys the first time, but not the last time.
Yeah. We have you back.
We'll see you over on campus.
Yeah.
And
we'll see you at the creamery.
Yeah, we'll see you at the creamery. The milk line and the ice cream line.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, Coach. Well, we learned a lot from Coach Woods.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. We've been eager to have him on, and now a week removed from spring camp, I think we got some good insight.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff.
Now he's had time to think about what he's got.
Yep. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
And guess what? It all seems pretty encouraging. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what Connor said about him. We've seen firsthand.
Yeah.
You know, you want to play for that guy.
Yep. Yeah. Connor was very complimentary, and you can see why.
Next week, so. Darius Lassiter is going to be here, and LJ Martin will get their take on spring football now that week removed and what they're already busy doing to get ready for the season opener. Brian Logan will be here as well. On April 22nd, Matt Bushman and Brandon Doman will be on the show.
Right.
We look forward to that. Lee Johnson's going to join us at the end of the month.
Everybody just get yourself ready to go for April 29th, because when Lee Johnson comes, he'll bring the energy. He's going to bring the energy for sure.
There's a lot going on. Let's do some more football. There's some fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Kyle Van Noy, by the way, we send our heartfelt congratulations to the Van Noys. He signed a 2-year deal to return to the Ravens worth a reported $9 million, according to ESPN. Had a career-high 9 sacks last season with Baltimore. Now, our Wise Guys interview almost went 2 hours with Kyle. That's at ysguys.com. We encourage you to go there when you have some time and just listen to him.
One of the things he talked about, it's just so funny that we got into this conversation, and he pointed out, but it didn't come across as arrogance in any way, shape, or form, that every defense he's ever been on in the National Football League gets better after he's been there than... And it was... The way we got to that, we asked him a question about, what does he take great pride in? And he's like, every defense I've played on has improved when I joined the team.
That's true.
But he wasn't saying it's because I'm so great. What he was saying was, I understand how to get everybody to play around me. And I understand how to lift a team. And that's why the Ravens are signing him. I mean, he's a veteran, but he's a great leader, and he raises everybody's level of play around him, and that's the guy you want on the team.
And he was great last year.
Yeah, sure was.
So Van Noy back with the Ravens, and the last thing I saw, we were tweeting back and forth, but the last thing I saw was he was trying to decide, does he want number 53 or number 50? And, of course, he said he'd love number 3. I don't know if that's available.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see him run around in number 3 again.
Doesn't the NFL have rules about backers? I don't know.
I don't know what the word is.
The NFL is strict about it. Hey, your socks have to be pulled up. You have to do this.
You get fined.
You have to have a certain number and
so
all
maybe
that.
He has to be in the 50s.
I think he might have to be. So
Zach Wilson, here's another guy. So we're trying to figure out his future. I'm sure he is too. Maybe he knows what his future is. If he doesn't get traded, the Jets are just going to keep him.
Yeah.
We already know that. But I thought he was going to go to the Chiefs. And then the Chiefs signed Wentz as the backup to Mahomes. And so where are the options now? Everyone's picked up somebody. Even the 49ers picked up Dobbs.
I thought there was a chance he was going to go to Minnesota.
Maybe Minnesota. They still haven't figured their
idea. Yeah,
Jaren Hall there and a couple of other backups. But is he going to be on the Jets again?
Oh,
Won't play.
Just the thought of that makes, you know, I feel like I have to have a drink right now because it's just the thought of that makes me ill.
The Jets make that happen. We don't know what's going to happen. I thought, I thought somebody would have jumped already to get him.
He's such a raw talent. He hasn't been developed.
And he's making $5 million. So it's almost like they're waiting for the Jets to pay him, cut him, and then all of a sudden.
But I think they made pretty clear. Hey, we think he's talented. We're not just going to give him away. So
right.
If we can't find a suitable trade where we get what we want for him, we're going to keep him.
So. The draft, by the way, is at the end of the month, April 25th through the 27th in Detroit,
right.
Which leads us to this next question. We're going to go down memory lane here for a moment. Keaton Slovis had a great pro day at the NFL Combine. Mm-hmm. Could he be the third straight BYU quarterback to get either drafted or signed with a team?
Right.
That would be three straight, which hasn't happened since Robbie Bosco, right?
Let's see. Well,
because it was Robbie, before him Steve, before him Jim, before him Mark. So there was a run there.
I was going to say it's more than three.
But since that
Because you went straight quarterback.
Yeah. Since that picks, run, though, there hasn't been
Giff,
three. Giff,
Mark, Jim, Steve, Robbie, all right in a row. Drafted.
So there was an interesting thing on Pro Football Focus. The most quarterbacks selected in the NFL draft. And USC was number one with 18. Stanford was number two at 18. Or USC had 19.
USC had 19.
Stanford with 18. Ohio State, 17. Florida State was four all time with 15. And then things get a little tight. LSU and Tennessee are tied for fifth with 14. Notre Dame and BYU tied for sixth, having put 13 quarterbacks in the league drafted.
Yeah, it's when they and remember when BYU went back to back to back to back, everybody was just calling BYU quarterback you,
mm-hmm.
because that just doesn't happen very often outside of USC, right?
Yeah,
we're just every new quarterback was drafted, and when I came to BYU, it was just like, yeah, you get the starting job here, you get drafted. And so it was absolutely quarterback you. And then there was a little bit of a break. And then you had Ty, Heisman Trophy winner and drafted. And then they had a little bit of a run there for a while with where they had some gaps. But enough guys BYU is still considered one of the top quarterback factories in all of college football.
So we have the list of the 13 BYU quarterbacks who were drafted. Everyone can name probably 11. And then it's like, okay, who are these other ones?
I think I could have... If you would have just, without even telling me, with no research, I think I would have got all but one. I think I could have gotten 12.
I had to go all the way back because I wasn't sure about Virgil Carter.
Yeah.
So he went to the Bears. Gary Scheide went to the Bengals. Gifford Nielsen went to the Oilers. He gave the opening prayer at conference over the weekend. Mark Wilson went to the Raiders. Jim McMahon went to the Bears. Steve Young went to the USFL and then the Bucks.
He would have been the number one overall draft pick in the NFL had he not already signed with the USFL.
And so. Robbie went to the Packers, and then there was a little bit of a break, and then in came these other names.
Yeah, then Ty Detmer goes to the Packers. John Walsh, drafted by the Bengals. That's the one I forgot, and I shouldn't have forgot. He threw for a bazillion yards this season.
And he left early, remember?
Right.
He left early.
So Bengals, Brandon Doman, the Niners. John Beck, the Dolphins, Zach Wilson, the Jets, and then Jaren Hall, the Vikings. Yeah. That's 13.
That's a pretty good group. That's tied for sixth most in college football history.
That's an amazing group and an amazing legacy. It really is. So
here's the next question.
And then I look at that and I'm just like, really? I was here right in the middle of that with Jim, Steve, and Robbie. How did that happen?
Yeah. Right. Let me just tell you, were an outstanding backup.
I would have been better to be at Texas or Arizona State or someplace. BYU was quarterback you.
So who were or are the three best BYU quarterbacks in the NFL?
To have gone on and competed. The first one is like a no-brainer. If anyone wants to argue this one with me, good luck. Because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Steve Young's one. That's right. Not even a question. Three Super Bowl rings with the Niners, the Super Bowl MVP, the league MVP. When he left, he was the all-time leading pass efficiency rated quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
Jim McMahon, probably number two.
I'd take Jim number two.
He won this. He's got two Super Bowl rings, one with the Bears, one as a backup to Brett Favre and the Packers. Yeah.
And by the way, I think Jim McMahon's the greatest college quarterback ever.
Yeah.
And Steve would probably... Because Steve and I have had this conversation a number of times where we talk about that. I think Steve might even agree with that. Steve was a great college quarterback, but I think he'd give the nod to Jim in college But then he takes the nod in the pros, no question.
Right? Number three, however, that was a tough one.
That one's.
I went back and forth, and you don't have to agree on this list.
I'll tell you some people that we should consider, but.
But I put Taysom Hill number three. When you consider he's thrown for over 2,300 yards and 11 touchdowns, and rushed for over 2,100 yards and 20 touchdowns, that doesn't even count in playing tight end, kickoff return man, the tackles on special teams. But as far as and then I had GIF number four. At first, I had GIF number three, and I thought. But Taysom, when he's has done so much more.
Yeah, Taysom's done some things that nobody's ever done in the league.
Right.
Like,
and technically, he's...
He's got some... He's already has some stuff in the Hall of Fame from the record he just set. Right?
Yeah.
And so, he's very, very visible. He's one of the most recognizable players as a utility player in the National Football League. But I didn't have him three because we said quarterback.
But technically, he went in as a quarterback.
That's true.
And he still
plays quarterback.
And he's still got a bunch of his yards and tight running end, and passing.
And slot back and as wide
a quarterback.
Receiver.
So I went back and forth on he's so much more than a quarterback, but that's what they got him as.
So and by the way, all these folks have been on our show except for Jim. We gotta get Jim on the show. I'll see if I can get him on this summer. But Mark Wilson's my three.
Yeah.
Yeah, first round draft pick. I love the story Mark told us here where he talked about when he said, "Hey, can I tell you guys a story that I haven't told anybody in 40 years," and we're like, "Yeah, Mark, it's just us right here."
Was that the special teams play?
No, when he quit.
Oh, yeah, that's
when he went in and quit. Right. He was quitting before his senior year because of the coaching changes, and Lavelle told him to hang on. He was going to fix things. Brought Doug Scoville back, which kept Mark here and kept Jim here, and then Mark goes on to be a first-team All-American and a first-round draft pick the next year. But 10 seasons, two-time Super Bowl champ, 14,391 yards and 86 touchdowns. Like, none of the other quarterbacks are close to that, other than Steve and Jim, right? So I have Mark as my number three. And then, just for longevity's sake, I have to throw Ty Detmer in there at five, right? Or at four or five. Because Ty, he was six teams, but 14 seasons in the NFL is remarkable. 6,351 yards, 39 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then the one that I don't know quite where to put him because it's a while ago, but you when you're talking about Ty and Giff and these guys, you have to throw Virg in there. You got to throw Virgil Carter in there. Played eight seasons in the NFL, threw for 5,063 yards, 29 touchdowns. So to me, it goes Steve, Jim, and then Mark's numbers are just so much more. Like, think about it. Ty played 14 seasons and threw for 6,300 yards. Mark played 10 seasons and threw for 14,000 yards and 86 touchdowns. So I got to give Mark the nod for number three, and I'm not quite sure where to put Taysom in there. If I'm just putting players with impact in the NFL,
yeah,
Taysom's like top three, period.
Well, and I think you factor that in. And you think about what Taysom's done. Taysom's done more than any of them.
Yeah.
In the variety of positions and stuff.
Right. Taysom, like what I said, Taysom's done some things that nobody else has ever done. So I don't know quite where to put him. But Mark's underrated, I think, a little bit. And people forget because it's a little bit longer ago.
Yeah.
But Mark was a really good NFL quarterback.
And by the way, here's a quick list of some notable undrafted Cougars. Chad Lewis went to three Pro Bowls.
Yes.
Chris Hoke has two Super Bowls. Ryan Denny, a Pro Bowl in 2010, 2012. Danny Sorensen, Super Bowl. Matt Bushman will be on the show in 2 weeks, two Super Bowls.
Yeah, who's the best undrafted player in BYU history and the NFL? Chad had a phenomenal career.
Chris
Hoke, I think.
I think you're right.
Well, and then my question was Kiesel drafted?
I don't know. I think he must have been because I was just looking at undrafteds and I didn't see his name there.
Because Kiesel, if he was undrafted, like he was dominant. The whole fear of the beard thing for years.
These are guys that came in without any promises.
Yeah, and if Kiesel was drafted, he wasn't one that they thought was going to be as good as he was. But he and Hoke together on the Steelers, that's the best BYU combo ever. And then our good buddy who also gave an opening prayer in conference the other day,
Vi
Sikahema, who's a Pro Bowler. But Vi was drafted late round draft pick. So
yeah, so those were the undrafteds.
But Chad Lewis, Chris Hoke, Ryan Denny, those are, Yeah, Chad Lewis, 3 Pro Bowls, but Chris Hoke.
Yeah, I mean, he had
a long, illustrious career.
And he's got Hoke, a kid in the program, and he was just here in town. I saw he posted a couple of pictures here during spring drills.
For the undrafted guys, like, he was a mainstay for a decade. A really, really great player.
All right, let's tackle basketball. John Calipari, I think it's formalized. They're formulating it right now, leaving Kentucky for the head job at Arkansas. And BYU's Mark Pope won a national championship at Kentucky under Rick Pitino. Pope's name's on the deep list of potential candidates to replace Calipari, but how realistic is it? Now, there are a bunch of guys on there that aren't going. They're too expensive, or they're not going to go to Kentucky because they got sweet gigs. But then you get down the list, and suddenly it's like, well, maybe they would consider Mark, but only after this guy says no, this guy says no, and this guy says no. But he's on the list. And so he's on the list. That means people are talking about him.
Yeah, and you think about, there's some really high-profile guys on that list, right, that they talk about. One of which is Rick Pitino.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going back down that road, but.
But he's on that list.
If you're on the list, you're on the list.
Rick's wife, and Rick's always says, I never should have left that job. Does he come back?
Did they get the Bulls coach who was at Florida?
These are big, big names that they're talking about, but all of them might just go, you know what? The expectations are so high.
Why would I want that? I'm making enough money here.
It's kind of like UCLA is one of the premier programs in the history of college basketball. It's hard to win a national championship at UCLA, but the expectations are you should win one all the time.
Yeah.
Because during the Wooden era, you just kept winning them. Like, in fact, there was one time when you won for 3 straight years and didn't lose.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a feeling, while possible, I think if the Cougars had gotten to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8, then Kentuckyites would feel so much better about getting a coach who's won in the NCAA tournament, because they're getting rid of a coach who hasn't won in the last 5 years, and that's what they're mad about.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
It's hard. It's the expectations for Kentucky are you're in the Final Four, and then you should win a national championship every couple of years. That's a tough thing to live up to, even if you're Kentucky. Because guess what? Carolina doesn't do it anymore. Duke doesn't do it anymore.
And they'll pay you a lot, but that's your burden.
Yeah.
All the time.
Duke fans think they should win the national championship every year, and they just don't anymore.
No. And so
UConn seems to be the only one that actually continues to dominate year after year.
They look good. They look good. We'll see what happens later tonight. But another thing that Mark Pope's got to do is he got to find a new assistant.
Yeah.
After his recruiter, defensive specialist, Cahill Fennell, took the job at UT Rio Grande Valley in Edinburgh, Texas. Want to be a head coach? Got the opportunity, and he's a head coach.
Well, and he did such a great job. It was great recruiting, great X's and O's guys. The players loved Cahill. I thought he had made major contributions to this program, so he's going to be missed, and that's a tough one. Mark's going to have to go out and backfill that, because he had a major role.
Big recruiter,
yeah,
big time really recruiter for BYU. So that's what's going on with basketball. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
You know what though? Those are the kinds of guys you got to get. Yeah. Like even though Cahill Fennell wants to move on and go be a head coach, that's a good formula. So who's the next guy that wants to go on and be a head coach that Mark can bring in and bring that kind of energy and all of that, and a certain amount of turnover in your staff is a good thing if you got great people coming through. Think about in the old days of BYU football, all of the great coaches that came through here. Like Lavelle's coaching tree is ridiculous. That's because he wanted to bring talented people, and he knew they wanted to go on, and he fostered that. And that's not a bad thing that Cahill's gone. You just got to try to find somebody that has that same kind of skill and energy and all that to come be the next guy that comes in for a couple of years. You just wish they stay 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that one goes. But that'll be a tough one to replace.
Yep.
Men's volleyball, 16-8, 7-5. That's their final regular season record. They split the weekend series at USC, stay at number 6 in the polls. So the MPSF tournament's coming up Wednesday, April 17th through the 20th. It's also at USC. Mm-hmm. Watch BYU Sports Nation for details. And we'll have more next week once we find out who and when they're playing. But it's tournament time now for men's volleyball.
Yeah, and it's a young team. They're number 6 in the country, and they're just going to get better over the next 2 years. So I don't know. They don't seem like a national championship contender this year. But they do down the road. But who knows? They get hot.
Get hot.
Yep.
They're going to need to get hot too, because that's UCLA's in that mix.
Isn't this funny? Yeah, they're just so young. They're only ranked number six in the country.
Yeah. But you only get the four, right?
Yeah.
And they need to expand that out. So they got to do really, really well.
Yeah.
At the MPSF tournament.
So softball's 21-16, 4-11 in the Big 12. Central Florida swept BYU in Orlando over the weekend. This week at Utah Valley, so a game here in the Valley. That's Tuesday, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Mountain. That's on ESPN+.
Hunter Ava, I wrote about her in the Deseret News today, Deseret.com. She is a home run waiting to happen and hit that grand slam to beat Houston.
Sports Center top 10
last week. Yeah. And phenomenal first baseman. And you can read more about her at Deseret.com.
She needs to be phenomenal because they're playing at number one Oklahoma Thursday through Friday and Saturday. So
three-time defending national champion.
Yeah, 5 o'clock Mountain on Thursday and Friday. Noon on Saturday. They're all on Sooner Vision and on ESPN+. They're 35-3, Dave.
Yeah, they're bugged because Texas beat them a couple times over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so now BYU's going to get them hopping mad.
Oh, man.
Timing's everything.
Yeah.
Track and field, the national rankings will be out tomorrow. The last poll had the women number 4 and the men number 22. This week, the Brian Clay Invitational in Azusa, California, the Pacific Coast Invitational, and the Beach Invitational. So again, they're
spreading out,
spanning the globe.
Divide and conquer out there. Gymnastics, BYU defeated Boise State in a tiebreaker to win the play-in meet. So it's like the first four in college basketball. Mm-hmm. So the Cougars finished third in the four-team second round. Arkansas regional bring their season to an end. So they pretty good season for BYU in gymnastics.
Yeah, and it was great that they got out of the first day. And the way they did it was quite dramatic.
Yeah.
And a great memory. In golf, the BYU women are in the Texas Showdown today and tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday. Next is the Big 12 Championships, April 18th through the 20th at the Houston Oaks Country Club.
And for the men, April 15th through the 17th is the Western Collegiate and Santa Cruz, California. That's a big one. Former Cougar Peter Quest, by the way, top 10 finish at the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour.
Nice.
How about that? Good job. Played with Peter before.
Make some money.
Yeah, and then former Cougar and former Master Champion Mike Weir is back in the field for Augusta later this week. Weirzy.
Yeah, let's hope he can put on a show. It's so hard for the older guys survive that course.
And they made that course so long, and it's fast, and it's
Tiger's going to be in it. I'm excited to watch it. I love the Masters.
I love it, too. It's one of my favorites.
Tennis.
Two years ago I was there, not this year.
BYU women now 15-6, 6-5, drop matches at number 23, Oklahoma, and at number 8, Texas. That was a tough swing.
Right.
This week, Cincinnati is in Provo Thursday. West Virginia's in Provo on Saturday. And the Big 12 Championships get going April 17th through the 20th in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Things starting to wind down.
Yeah, they are. And BYU men are 11-8, 0-5. They drop matches at number 3, TCU, and number 4, Central Florida. A bunch of ranked teams on the men's side. This week, BYU at Texas Tech on Saturday. The Big 12 Championships are April 19th through 22nd in Stillwater. So it's the women's followed right by the men's.
Women's volleyball, since we were last together, they released their 18-game Big 12 schedule. It includes the four new schools, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. For the first time ever, a Big 12 schedule has been released that didn't have Texas or Oklahoma in it because they're off to the SEC. So 15 teams in women's volleyball. BYU is going to face every one of them once, four of them twice. The Big 12 opener is Colorado at BYU on September 26th. Utah's at BYU on October 19th, and then BYU's at Utah on November 8th, which is the night before the BYU-Utah football game.
Is it going to foreshadow what's going to happen on the Saturday?
That's going to be quite a weekend, that's for sure. By the way, the significance of this one is it's BYU's first conference home-and-home series against Utah since 2010 when they were both in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
So it's the circle has finally come to an end.
You would assume that men's basketball, when the schedule comes out, will have a home-and-home with Utah.
Yeah. So, and soccer won't because they just do ones.
Right.
But we'll see how the rest go. But that was the first one where it's like, hey, back.
A home and home.
It's all back. Hey, by the way, Lauren Gustin played in that women's college all-star game over the weekend. A double-double, 15 points, 15 rebounds.
Yeah, she can rebound against anybody. She can rebound in the WNBA, believe me. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Congrats to her. That's great to go play among the best. First of all, she did her rebounds in the WCC, and everyone said, yeah.
Oh, can she do it in the Big 12?
She goes to the Big 12, leading rebounder.
In the country.
Leads the country. And so why not go to the WNBA and get some rebounds?
She can do it. She can do it. So
fantastic. All right, on this day, April 8th.
Yep. We start with 1893. The Critic reports that ice cream soda is America's number one drink.
Have you had an ice cream soda?
Yeah.
I haven't had one. Now, a root beer float, I guess, is technically an ice cream soda.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never been one to go, hey, here's a Dr. Pepper. I'm going to pour that over, vanilla ice cream.
Root beer float, to me, is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it seems like a root beer float, yeah. But if I like Coke, people put Coke over vanilla ice cream and make an ice cream soda. But I haven't done that.
Coke float, I haven't done. I've done a root beer float, and I've done a cream soda float.
Yeah. Have you ever done a Dr. Pepper float?
No.
I haven't either, because I haven't wanted to waste a Dr. Pepper.
Well, we're going to have to try it.
What if it doesn't work out?
Next time we're on the road, we're going to try a Dr. Pepper float.
1969, on this day, the first Major League Baseball game featuring a team from Canada, the Montreal Expos, beat the New York Mets 11-10. Do the Mets just lose to everybody?
Yes. So not every year, though. Sometimes they're good. 1974, Hank Aaron hits home run number 715. To break Babe Ruth's home run record.
Man, that was tonight.
1974 on April 8th.
On this day in 1979 was the final episode of All in the Family with Archie Bunker. 205 episodes of that they made.
You couldn't make that show today.
No.
There's no way you can make that show in today's environment. So.
But back then, it was a hit. Oh, yeah.
Bum, ba, dum, bum, bum, bum. 2022. So we're like recent history now.
We're jumping right up.
The U.S. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences bans Will Smith from attending the Oscars for 10 years after he slapped host Chris Rock during the 2022 ceremony.
And now Will Smith's kind of fallen off the planet.
Well, he always does these ones where he's with aliens. So.
Yeah, so that was something.
He did the Men in Black. Band. He was kind of off the planet on that. And then
we watched
Independence
Hitch.
Day. He was kind of dealing with people off the planet then.
We watched Hitch the other night. You know, it was funny.
So funny.
Funny. Good movie. But he's still working through some of that
working
stuff.
Through some stuff.
Birthdays. Born on April 8th, 1460. Juan Ponce de Leon, the explorer, discovered Florida. Do you think when they got to Florida and they pulled up there and they saw all the alligators, why didn't they just get back on their boat and leave?
No, they looked at it and they said, you know what? If we can discover this, eventually Walt Disney will come down here. And he'll turn the swamp into something magical.
Okay.
That's what they were thinking.
He was a visionary.
In 1918, Betty Ford, it's her birthday, 1918, Betty Ford, the first lady and founder of the Betty Ford Clinic.
Yeah, did a lot of good in her life.
Yes, she did.
John Havlicek, the Boston Celtic, was born on this day in 1940.
1949, April 8th, Jim Lampley, the boxing announcer.
He was and still is the big fight announcer. Howard Cosell before him. And then Jim Lampley. Yeah. If Lampley's on the call, it's a big fight.
It's a big fight.
I got to know and experience that in Vegas all those years. Those who died on April 8th, a couple of notables, 1973, Pablo Picasso.
Yeah. I've been to the Picasso Museum. 2013, Margaret Thatcher, British Prime Minister.
Our Wise Guys Inspirational Quote of the Week is from Margaret Thatcher, speaking at BYU in 1996.
How about that?
At the Marriott Center.
She says, "Those pilgrim fathers came with the faith that infused the whole nation. Yours is the only nation founded on liberty, and you're founded on liberty because of that faith." So
that's the British Prime Minister coming over here.
Talking on faith.
And saying, hey, here's how this all worked out.
Yep.
And why it did. And it's great to have her speak at the Marriott Center. Our special thanks to BYU offensive line coach and running game coordinator TJ Woods. I thought he gave us a taste of the challenge at hand.
Yeah.
He's come in here to fix the offensive line. And it's kind of a crude way to say it, but I thought he gave a good deep answer on that.
He did a great job. And then thanks to baseball players Cahill Aloy and Keone Painter.
It was fun to have those guys here.
The Maui, you call them Maui Punch. 1-2.
They're kind of soft-spoken guys.
Yeah.
And so it was fun to put a microphone in their face and ask them questions they didn't know were coming.
So
next week, BYU receiver Darius Lassiter, running back L.J. Martin, and BYU TV football analyst Brian Logan. So we got a big show next week.
Be great. Looking forward to it.
Podcast will be up tomorrow. Please share it with your friends. And remember, we're now looking for some sponsors. So if you know a business or own a business that want to come be a part of Wise Guys, this is the window of opportunity. Now that we're nearing our 2 years and ready to get serious, the previous 2 years have just been practice, and now it's go time. I'm Dave McCann. That's Blaine Fowler. We're the Wise Guys. Let's have a great week. And you know what? There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff to talk about next week.
Oh, yeah.
The beauty of it is we're not sure what that is yet.
But there'll be something, and it'll be fun.
It'll happen.
We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.